Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 217, the four stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. And what follows, Psalter 217, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, the verses 45 through 57. And afterwards, we shall read from the Confession of Faith, also called the Belgic Confession, which was formulated by Guido de Brie. We shall read the first article. John 11, beginning with verse 45. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover, to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? And now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. From the Confession of Faith, Article 1, there is one only God. We all believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that there is one only simple and spiritual being, which we call God, and that he is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite, almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all good. We hope to remember the parents who were blessed with the birth of a child yesterday. Mr. and Mrs. Hank and Melinda Milder were blessed with a baby boy. And Mr. and Mrs. Young and Leena Bredeweg were blessed with a baby girl. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. O Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then we have heard out of the confession of our forefathers, based upon thy holy word, who thou art, so incomprehensible, so great, so immutable, so just, and so merciful, and that thou art the fountain of all good. And then we have heard of a believing with the heart and a confession with the mouth. O Lord, when in this evening hour of this work day, when thou hast gathered us as a congregation together around about thy holy word, and we attempt with our unclean lips to draw nigh unto thee, the living God, may we truly receive a little impression unto whom we speak, and also an impression of our smallness, and not only of our littleness, but also of our sinnership. Where it is written in thy holy word that we offend in many things, and that we sin against such a good doing, such a faithful, such a long-suffering God. We're also on this day, then thou hast granted many a blessings unto us and our children. Then we are yet privileged above most of the people upon the earth. And what maketh us to differ? Because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, we humbly ask thee for the blessed and precious work of thy Holy Spirit, that by the first time and by renewal, to receive a profound impression of divine realities, an impression that we are traveling through the time to a never-ending eternity, and that our time is short, that the times are so solemn and so serious. Thou art yet gathering a church. We humbly ask thee in this evening hour that thou may dwell richly amongst us. It is a week of preparation, where when thou granteth it, then the holy supper of our Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation. And then also in that respect, we live in solemn times, different times, and there are many different thoughts, but may we be given to seek what belongs to peace, to edification, for the welfare of thy Zion here below, and for the glory of thy great and worthy name. To that end, a necessity for all of us to be much in our knees, always poor beggars. Lord, that is also thy work, to make beggars, but to be given to humbly supplicate, that thou may be a surprising and a wonder-doing God in this week, and also on the coming Lord's Day, with the signs and the seals of the covenant, which points to the broken body and the poured out blood of thy dear Son, who now sitteth at thy right hand and always intercedeth for his church. Whereas that great high priest, he carries the breastplate with thy chosen church upon his heart. There he sits and stands as king, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to watch over his church that shall continue till the last day. Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou grant unto each and every one of us that we may honestly and truly examine our hearts, how matters stand, what the case is, how we are traveling to that never-ending eternity, O Lord. May it please thee to use it for the unconverted, that by the work of thy Spirit, that they may be given to see their condition so wretched and so lost, a jealousy for the true people of God, a sigh unto thee, the living God. Lord, remember thy children, to be given to examine their state and their condition. The psalmist of old has said, in thy light, we shall see light. May it please thee, that there may be a people that may receive burning hearts, those living desires, that longing, but also that expectation and a faith to be given to look upon him who was white and ruddy and the chiefest among 10,000s. Lord, thou knowest that in the week of preparation, in the life of thy true children, that there can be many attacks, many assaults, much unbelief, and much trouble with the prince of darkness. May it be that those matters, where it is written in thy word, that all things work together for good, to them that love him, that are called according to his purpose. Wilt thou remember consistory and congregation, bless the manifold means of grace in the midst of the church, in the midst of the dwellings, and in the midst of the Christian school. Remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Wilt thou bless thy word among Jew and Gentile. Lord, remember our needs and all our blessings. Where it is pleased thee, in the day of yesterday, to bless fathers and mothers, with the birth of a well-born child, a well-toker and a humble and a broken heart, a father and mother that was called upon to bring their firstborn to the grave. And now thou wast blessed them by renewal with the birth of another child. Lord, remember those parents. Grant those fathers and mothers a special place at thy footstool, where they may bring their little child before thee, and to be given to humbly ask, that thou may take early possession of their little hearts, that they may be little children for thy honor and for thy glory. Oh, we remember the grandparents, with their blessings, their increased responsibility. Remember all the unborn and remember the barren ones. Lord, we commend unto thee all the mourning ones, all our elderly ones, in the evening of their life, above all things, save their never dying souls, and wilt thou remember all those that are under the physician's care in special ways, with different concerns and with different fears. Wilt thou grant wisdom to the physicians? Wilt thou remember all the sick and afflicted over the length and the breadth of the earth? Remember all those that work in the medical field and also in the emergency field. Wilt thou remember all the family circles? Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Remember our youth. Remember the young couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony in the week to come. Wilt thou help them with the preparations? May they be given to humbly cry unto thee, that thou may go before them as the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. That it may be a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. That on their special day, that thy special presence, that it may be experienced in a special way. Remember all of our young people. Wilt thou grant them one, a husband and a wife, with whom they can travel through this life around the old ways and the old truths. Lord, remember land and country. Remember our province. Remember our premier with all those that stand at a side in these difficult and trying ways. Wilt thou grant them wisdom? And wilt thou grant that there may soon come a time that they may be given to acknowledge that thou art the ruler in the heavens and upon the earth, that thou directs everything in thy providence, and the means that are being used, that without thy blessing they cannot avail. Lord, remember thy church under these special callings. Ah, give us to repent of our evil and worldly ways. May all thy callings be used for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy gracious help. Anoint us with fresh oil from above to declare the wonderful things of the Lord. Remember all the listeners, from the youngest to the oldest. Wilt thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance, bind the devil fast, Lord. Be a surprising God. Give a good hour in thy house. In this evening hour, remember all those that may listen along. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 367, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Gracious Lord, remember David, how he made thy house his care, how he vowed to seek no pleasure, till thy house he should prepare, and what follows. Psalter 367, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in John 11, the verses 55, 56, and 57. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? And now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Our text words speak, what think ye? Will he come to the feast? With four thoughts. The first place, the diligent preparation for the feast. In the second place, the command given before the feast. The third place, the diligent seeking on the feast. And in the fourth place, the secret fear concerning the feast. Oh, what think ye? Oh, will he come to the feast? The diligent preparation as we find it in verse 55. The command given in verse 57. The diligent seeking in the first part of verse 56. And the secret fear concerning the feast in the second part of verse 56. Thus first, the diligent preparation for the feast. Beloved congregation, we may be in a week of preparation. We live in a solemn, a difficult, and a serious time. Where we never read in the history of the New Testament church what we have experienced in this past year. We do read many times that the Lord has visited the earth with plagues and with great sickness. But we never read in the New Testament church that the church has come in circumstances as we have come. And then there are many thoughts, many different thoughts, and many opposite thoughts. There are people that seem to have all the answers, but the perplexity of the situation that is so evident, were in churches and denominations over the nations of the earth, that there are many different thoughts concerning the Lord's Supper. There have been churches that have commemorated the same in the year gone by. There are churches that are refraining. And then it is so necessary and so profitable that we may respect one another's thoughts. Then in the second place, then it is necessary that we do not only focus when we have different thoughts, oh, how much there has been spoken, but that we may be given to remember everything that we have in common. Thus, that the differences in thought, and each is entitled to their thoughts, and then each has their reasons for their thinking, but then it is so profitable. I read thereof in Romans 14, verse 15, that we seek for the things that belong to peace and to edification. And to that end, necessary that we may come much on our knees, with an eye for his glory and for the coming of his kingdom. It can be with the difficulties and the different thoughts that we are so focused on an issue that we forget about the welfare of our never-dying soul. And now in this evening hour, then we have our text out of John 11, where Christ has done a great wonder. We're in the beginning of this chapter. Then after Lazarus was dead for 4 days, that Christ has raised him from the dead. It was a miracle that could not be hidden. It was noised abroad in the city of Jerusalem. And we even read that many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But as some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. It was at the time shortly after Lazarus has been raised. We do not know exactly how much time lay in between, but we read in our text words, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem. Then it was required in the law of Moses that all the males over 12 years, the other ones when opportunity, also come, and that many, it was a special feast when the Passover lamb would be slain, would be sacrificed in Jerusalem, and when the family circles would be given to take that lamb and partake thereof, and then the calling of the fathers, the head of the household, to declare the wonderful works of the Lord, what he has done in the past on the night, that the Lord has led out the children of Israel with an outstretched arm. And then we read, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Thus it is implied that Jewish people, most of them, that they have given themselves ample time for a time of preparation. Oh, the people of God know that in a week of preparation, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, can be times that it seems that extra things come to the forefront, that they are so busy, and that before they know it, it is Friday and Saturday, and they have to confess that they have not taken sufficient time to search the scriptures, read the writings of our old fathers, and to try to beg of the Lord for a blessing, for a special token of his favor in the week of preparation. But now we read of the Jewish people, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. We read in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7 that Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And in verse 6, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore that old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Then we read in the Old Testament that it was a feast of 7 days of unleavened bread, that is yeast, boys and girls, and that the Israelites, they were to diligently search their houses, and then on the way to the Passover, that there was no leaven amongst them. And leaven in the scripture, that is a type of sin. But also we read in Matthew 16 of the leaven of the Pharisees that referred to doctrine and to hypocrisy. Thus the clear command for the Passover celebrants that they were to purify themselves. Not to misunderstand it does not mean that between those feasts that they had more liberty to sin, but it concerned leaven. How it can be in the life of a child of God when it is announced that the Lord's Supper is to be administered, that they are shocked when they consider the time between the Lord's Suppers, how their life has been, whether there was also preparation. Sometime it can seem for a child of God than the week before that they do their best to put things aright and to rectify what is wrong. But what a privilege it is when a child of God, not only in a week of preparation, but when the Lord grants by his Holy Spirit a close and a tender life at the throne of grace, and to receive those special visits, those special instructions. What would you think of a husband that only a week before they hope to commemorate a special wedding anniversary, that only the week before that he tries to show special love and compassion and maybe do special things for his wife? And no, it must always be so. Thus, then our text words have special significance. Reverend Wilhelmus Brackel, in his reasonable service, then he has spoken broadly and specifically concerning the necessary preparation in the life of a child of God. And he is also written as a general rule, the Lord is so free, can be. When there is not such a diligent preparation that the Lord still grants an undeserved and special blessing. He writes, it can also be when a child of God may be much exercised, when they may receive great expectation, that they can be disappointed. The church learns that the Lord is so free, and it is all undeserved, but he writes, under normal circumstances, when it may be granted a diligent preparation, that the Lord will grant a blessing. Then concerning that preparation, then he is written of three matters. We can read it at home. In the first place, to stimulate our desire. The church knows, so dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, in his book, he urges the church that they may be given to stimulate that desire, to be given to meditate upon the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, what great things are signified therein. Then in the second place, self-examination. And in the third place, a spiritual adornment. Thus, necessary, the Jews. Many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Our second thought, the command given before the feast. Then after Lazarus was raised, then there were those that went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And then we read that the Sanhedrin, they have gathered together and they have said to one another, what shall we do? And then they have given the command, as we read in our text. Now both the chief priest and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it, that they might take him. And of course the church council, the church leaders, they also had their reasons, because they have said, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. They were implying that they would not believe. But the Jewish people, they would believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. It was not completely an untruth that the council, the Sanhedrin, they have said, if Jesus receives more and more followers, and he performs many miracles, that Jewish people, the Romans, they have received also the land of Canaan as a portion of the Roman Empire, although they have still given the Jewish people much freedom to reign concerning many matters. And now the Sanhedrin has said, if too many people follow Jesus and they see his miracles, then in their full zeal and in their enthusiasm, then they shall follow him, they shall crown him as king, and in their full zeal do foolish things. It shall come to the ears of the Romans, and perhaps they shall send an army and destroy our nation. Not a complete untruth. We read in Acts 5, when the apostles were apprehended, then Gamaliel spoke of a certain Theudas, and also a Judas in Galilee, that has gathered many people together, but it was subdued by the Romans. Thus, the Sanhedrin is also given their reasons, and then they have added, the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. But the Sanhedrin, they have not said all. They have not told the Jewish people that they were filled with envy, that they were losing their influence, and that Jesus has received so many followers. Then the Sanhedrin did not tell the Jewish people that they were upset and angry that Jesus has told them their sins with the parable of the husbandman. Then in Matthew 21, verse 45, then they read, they perceived that they spake of them. And in Matthew 23, he has pronounced the woes upon the Pharisees. Thus a command had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it, that they might take him. When we consider that command, congregation, all must then that Mary, that is saved for 300 days to purchase that bottle of special ointment, where she had such a vehement desire that an opportunity would come that she would anoint him. Oh, what a blessing it is when in the church there may be such souls, oh, gathering that ointment, a heart full of love, and with that vehement desire to celebrate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, must then a Martha, oh, whom Jesus has corrected, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Oh, Martha, with such a heart full of love for the Lord. Oh, it is true, she was busy serving. Must she then give heed to that command and go to the Sanhedrin and tell where Jesus was? Oh, Lazarus, whom Jesus has raised from the dead, must the Lazarus now go to the scribes and Pharisees, to the priest and Pharisees, to declare where he was? Oh, must then a Simon leper, who was given a feast for Jesus and his disciples, when Mary has anointed the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, where she has washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her long hair and poured that ointment over him, oh, must then a Simon the leper, whom undoubtedly Jesus has healed, must he then tell that Jesus, that he has invited Jesus? Oh, we could multiply it out. Must then that Bartimaeus, who has been healed by Jericho, who has received the sight where the Lord has done wonders, oh, must the Zacchaeus, who was commanded to come down out of that tree, and where Jesus has dined with him, and where Jesus has pronounced that salvation has come to this house, oh, must he then go and tell the leaders that Jesus was amongst them? Ah, the Lord in that day, he had a remnant that had a heart full of love for Jesus. Oh, they have sat, oh, that Mary has sat at the feet of Jesus concerning his teaching. Oh, the disciples have been instructed. Oh, there was a remnant. Oh, it is true. They were still very ignorant concerning the priestly office of Jesus Christ. But there was a remnant in Jerusalem, and it cannot be different that have come from afar, who has heard his teaching and experienced his miracles. Oh, a heart full of love for Jesus, who would soon come to the Passover. Our third thought, the diligent seeking on the feast. And then we read, then sought they for Jesus. Oh, it is true. There was much seeking that was not right. Undoubtedly, there were the enemies that sought for Jesus, that they might betray him and maybe receive a Judas reward. Undoubtedly, there were many that sought him out of curiosity. Oh, that have heard of the wonders when they have come up to Jerusalem, that they have heard that the Lord has raised Lazarus, who was laid in the grave for 4 days, that were curious that they may see another miracle performed even upon the dead or upon the sick. Undoubtedly, there were those that have heard that there was no preacher ever like Jesus, because we read in Matthew 7, verse 29, that he taught with power and with authority. Thus there was a people that sought for Jesus. But now the Lord has a people upon the earth. Oh, we have heard on Sunday evening from Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul longeth for thee, my flesh thirsteth for thee, in a dry and in a thirsty land. Ah, the Lord has a people that knows what it is to thirst after hunger and righteousness. Ah, the Lord has a people that is thirsting for his favor and for his communion. Ah, the Lord has a people that desires a visit from heaven. Oh, there was a people. Then sought they for Jesus. And now congregation, of course, to seek and to look and to long for someone. Then we need to have a certain knowledge of that person. And in our text words, it is specifically mentioned, then sought they for Jesus. Ah, there are souls that understand it. When the Lord works, when the Lord uncovers, when the Lord enlightens, when the Lord causes the light to shine in the darkness, oh, in beginning, then we are given to experience in beginning who the Lord is. Oh, we have heard it out of the confession of faith that Gideon Debris, in a few words, that he was given to declare who that majestic and that infinite God is. Oh, when the Lord works with the Spirit, then they learn their sin. Then they learn their guilt. They are given to experience that separation. Oh, it is true. The Lord grants many tokens of his divine favor. Is it not so, people of the Lord? Nevertheless, oh, then that people, they become seekers. They are a missing people. And then their sin becomes exceedingly bitter. Ah, given to experience that separation. And then they are given to do in all all in their might, that guilt, that burden upon their shoulders may be removed. They hope that they may become well-pleasing to the Lord. But now, young and old, there are souls that understand it, and then they are given to seek for Jesus. And when does that now take place? When the scriptures may be opened, when the light may shine in the darkness, when they are be given to behold, then he becomes so necessary, so suitable, and so precious. Then they are given to see that he can save to the uttermost. Times that they are given to believe that they can also be saved. Then what a hope they receive, and then what an exercises. Then they become, as in our text, seekers of Jesus, because Jesus has come to save his people from their sins. Are there such souls that in a week of preparation that may say that they may belong to that people where we read, then sought they for Jesus, and that not only in beginning, but each time by renewal. Then it is necessary concerning that examination, how great my sins and miseries are, not how they have been. When the Lord begins, then they know that time. But to examine our hearts, people of God, how great my sins and miseries are, and with that knowledge, then to understand, then how necessary and how precious Jesus is, then they need him as prophet in a week of preparation, that there may be a proper examination. The true church of God, they are not afraid to examine themselves. And in that examination, then many times, in the true work of the Lord, then the Lord grants encouragement, then he grants favor. What a blessing it is. That is the desire. The church learns that even in a week of preparation, that they cannot even give themselves the right thoughts, and not even speaking of that desire. And therefore, when we read that they sought for Jesus, people of God, the necessity that we may be given to cry unto the Lord for the immediate work of the Holy Spirit, to be given to need him as our prophet, our priest, and our king. Because in the true work of the Lord, how the devil can go around, and that he can insult, that he can question a child of God, how it can ever be. Look then at your life. You are not what you ought to be. Look in your inner chamber. Examine your prayers. How are you searching the word of God? How are you exercised with the coming of God's kingdom and the glorification of his name? Then in the week of preparation, how great my sins and miseries are, and yet then to be given to look upon that precious and adorable Jesus. The love of Jesus, that he was willing to come upon this earth to save a people, and a people that continues in such wayward ways. Then how necessary concerning that examination. We have heard of that purification, concerning that gratitude, our forethought, the secret fear concerning the feast. Let us first sing of Psalter 24, the stanzas 1 and 3. Who, O Lord, with thee abiding, in thy house shall be thy guest? Who his feet to Zion turning, in thy holy hill shall rest? And what follows? Psalter 24, 1 and 3. what think ye? Oh, will he come to the feast? The diligent preparation, the command given, the diligent seeking, and now fourthly, the secret fear concerning the feast. And then they have spoken among one another, they spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think ye that he will not come to the feast? A very important question. The command has been given that if any knew the whereabouts of Jesus, they must report it to the Sanhedrin, young and old. Then we see the love of Jesus. Whereas the Passover lamb, he would come to Jerusalem, be led through the sheep gate, and led as a lamb to the slaughter. All the Passover lambs, they were ignorant of what would take place, that they would be slain. But now Jesus, as the Passover lamb, then he knew what lay before. And that was the cursed cross of Calvary, where he would hang between the heavens and the earth, where he would be that substitute for his people. Oh, then we have heard it in former verses, that when the Sanhedrin, when they were discussing this matter, that Caiaphas says unto them, ye know nothing at all. Are there such souls in my midst that know nothing at all? Oh, when we are unconverted, then we may say we know nothing at all. And how is it now with the people of God? Oh, when they come on the school of Jesus, then they learn what Caiaphas has said. Ye know nothing at all. And then many times they are simply given to us, Lord, wilt thou convert me as thou hast converted all thy people? Oh, it is true. Sometimes that people, even many times when we are brought up under the truth and the Lord works, that we try to tell the Lord how it must go. But, the Lord has a people that learn their ignorance, that learn their darkness. Oh, ye know nothing at all. Then that Jesus is so hidden for them. And then it is necessary that the light may shine in the darkness. Oh, also in those further leadings, the Lord leadeth his people in mysterious ways. And in that way, he shall receive all the honor and the glory. Ye know nothing at all. And now Caius, in the Lord's providence, sometime the Lord even uses people out of the world. Think Balaam, the prophet who has prophesied such glorious things, even concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Lord has granted that thought. And then he has said, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. Oh, what a precious gospel that Caiaphas has proclaimed in the midst of the Sanhedrin. And then by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, then John is given the application, and this spake he not of himself, But being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And now listen, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Oh, what a precious gospel. To that end, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the willing servant of the Father, then he has come up to Jerusalem that he may suffer and die. What think ye? That he will not come to the feast? People of God, what a question. That we may be given to turn unto ourself. How is it now, church? What think ye? Will he not come to the feast? How is it thus far? In a week of preparation. Oh, concerning that question, what a fears there can be that he shall not come to the feast. When they consider the time since the last Lord's Supper, the church is nothing to boast of. Reasons to smite themselves upon the breast. What think ye? Will he come to the feast, people of God? How has it been in the prayer chamber? How has it been concerning diligently a searching for Jesus as our only righteousness, as that only sacrifice, Church of God? How has it been with our thankfulness? Oh, have we given him many reasons that he should come to the feast? How is it with our submission when things have went so different than we expected? Trials can multiply it out. How has it been with that submission? What think ye? Will he come to the feast, child of God? How has it been with the first three petitions? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, as upon earth, will upon earth as it is in heaven. Oh, then the child of God has reasons to fear and say, Lord, thou can never be present at the feast, at the king's table, with the signs and the seals of the covenant. When I am given to reflect on who I am, who I remain, what think ye? Will he come to the feast? Oh, it is true. Then there is much in God's word to encourage the child of God. Oh, he has come to Jerusalem in his great love and his willingness for his church. Oh, has he not said in Luke 22, verse 15, that with great desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer? Oh, when we consider the promises in God's word, that one-sided love, oh, the willingness of the Savior, oh, people of God, oh, congregation, to say it reverently, the Lord cannot be without his people. He has loved them with an everlasting love. Oh, he has loved them when he has come up to Jerusalem. Oh, he loves them in the moment of regeneration, and he loves them still. Thus there is much and the Word of God to encourage. Oh, the promise is His truth, His faithfulness, that He is the Alpha and the Omega. What think ye? Will He come to the feast? Now, how is it, people of God? Thus far, in a week of preparation, have you received a little hope and a little encouragement that He will be present at the feast? Special desires, a burning heart, humility and brokenness at the throne of grace. He received a token of His favor to give hope and expectation. Shall the Lord now grant that hope and expectation? And shall He put His child to shame? What think ye? Will He come to the feast, people of God? Is that now our main concern? That He may be present, all for the church of God. That He may show us pierced hands. That as a David to Mephibosheth, that He may speak of that covenant which David and Jonathan hath made. What think ye? Will He come to the feast? May that be our need. May that be our desire. O people of God, must we thus far say that it is still so cold, so quiet, so dead? Oh, that there is no expectation. Oh, the Jews at Jerusalem, they have said, what think ye? Will He come to the feast? Oh, may I then ask you, is there then need that He indeed shall come? Oh, are we exercised with our sins, our daily infirmities, our blackness? Are we exercised with that wedding garment? What think ye? Will He come to the feast because His name is Jesus, because He has come to save His people from their sins? Oh, it is the work of the Spirit to make room that Jesus may be present at the feast, because the Lord, He does not waste His grace. Oh, is there that godly sorrow over our sins? Do we feel those wounds that we need Jesus at the feast as that heavenly physician? Oh, must we lament that we are but a wandering sheep, and that we need the good shepherd that He may speak comfortably to the souls of His people? Oh, are there souls that are beset with perplexities and with riddles that they have not an answer? Oh, then He becomes so necessary in His prophetical office that He may grant instruction concerning His priestly office. Oh, that broken bread and that poured out wine, it all points to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, are there then souls that in this week, that of many assaults, oh, that awful unbelief, but also the prince of darkness, that He comes with His questions, and that you have no answer? Oh, what think ye? Will He be present at the feast? Are there then souls that need Him in His kingly office? Oh, what think ye? Will He come to the feast? Oh, do we not read in the Scriptures that the poor and the needy ones, that He shall satisfy them? Oh, surely, when those poor and needy ones, when they may come, oh, then shall He not be present at the feast? I read in Isaiah 66, verse 2, that the Lord looks upon the humble and those that tremble at his word. Thus what an examination. What think ye? Will he come to the feast, people of God? May we be exercised with that question. And may we examine our hearts whether there is true need, urgent need, of vehement and desire that he may be present. Oh, with a confession, sinned away, undeserved, unworthy, forfeited. But oh, that precious text in Luke 15, that Jesus, he ate with publicans and with sinners. What think ye, will he come to the feast? Also a narrow way to the Lord's Supper. Not with what we have experienced. Oh, it can be that a child of God is so busy that he may have something, a little worthiness, whatever it may be, to come to the Lord's table. There is never no worthiness in a child of God. On the other hand, that it is not form and duty, but the child of God may be exercised. What think ye? Will he not come to the feast? May the Lord grant prayers, exercises to that end, all from the church's side. It is sinned away, necessary to be exercised therewith. And then as an unworthy beggar, to come to that feast. And as we read in the explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism, all to embrace, and by a true saving faith, to eat, to be nourished, and also to experience that blessed communion. Oh, may it be experienced on the coming Lord's Day that he is present in a special way, of course. This divinity, read in the Heidelberg Catechism concerning the ascension of Christ, that with his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is never present from his people. But God's people, they have a desire that they may experience that special presence and that special favor. Oh, that by an eye of faith, that they may be given to look upon Jesus Christ, where he is given for justification, for sanctification, and glorification. Oh, may it be experienced on the coming Lord's Day, what the psalmist of old has declared in Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men shall put their trust under thy wings. Amen. Let us close. Lord, wilt thou grant exercises concerning that question in the midst of the congregation? What think ye? Will he not come to the feast? Ah, Lord, thou hast instituted the sacrament that thy children may do it in remembrance of him, but also for the strengthening of their faith, and that their lives may be more holy. Wilt thou then be a surprising God, Lord? Wilt thou watch over us in this night and remember us in the furtherance of this week? Wilt thou bring us together on the Sabbath day? Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? May there be unity, may there be peace. May the King remember us in his favor. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 428, the stanzas 2 and 5. Oh, let thy Spirit be my constant aid, that all my ways may ever be directed, to keep thy statutes so to be obeyed, that from all error I may be protected. And what follows, 428, 2 and 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.